per hour.
Blog Talk Radio.
West and about 215 miles south of Tampa. Forecasters say hurricane conditions are possible in west central Florida tonight into early tomorrow. First responders are not stopping their efforts at the site of the deadly condo collapse in Surfside, Florida.
We were able to remove 124 tons of debris, which is equivalent now to 5 million pounds of debris off the top.
Miami-Dade Fire Chief Alan Kaminsky says federal agencies and out-of-town rescuers are also still helping search through the piles of debris. This comes despite gusty winds slowing the process down at times. 4 more deaths have been reported in the collapse. Miami-Dade County Mayor Daniela Levine-Cava confirmed the death toll now stands at 32, with 113 people still unaccounted for. President Biden plans to push for more Americans to get vaccinated today as the Delta variant spreads across the U.S. In upcoming remarks this afternoon, the president will outline 5 areas his team is focusing on to get more Americans vaccinated, specifically door-to-door outreach and getting more vaccines to primary care providers and pediatricians. This comes as the U.S. nears the mark of having 160 million fully vaccinated Americans. An award-winning journalist is turning down a tenure offer from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill after a months-long debate. Professor Nicole Hannah-Jones was scheduled to join the faculty on July 1st as the night chair in race and investigative journalism. The Pulitzer Prize winner was the driving force behind the New York Times 1619 project, which is what touched off the controversy. Now, despite the Board of Trustees voting 9-4 last week to approve her tenure, she said she's made the difficult decision to decline and is instead taking a position as the inaugural night chair in race and reporting at Howard University. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
I think it's just vapor.
Vaping is safer than smoking, isn't it?
There's really not even that much nicotine in them, right?
One vape pod has as much nicotine as one pack of cigarettes.
My kids, it's dangerous.
5.4 million American kids vape, and most think it's harmless. Get your head out of the cloud. Talk to your kid about vaping. Visit talkaboutvaping.org. That's talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to alternative talk weather. Outlook for Tuesday, we'll see mostly sunny skies again today. High temperatures around 82, 83 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear skies, lows back down to about 60 for Wednesday. And for Thursday, partly to mostly sunny skies. High temperatures a little cooler, about 10 degrees cooler, down to about 72, 73. Partly cloudy skies through the overnight. Lows in the upper 50s, 58, 59. More sunshine returning for Friday. I live around 81.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Join the new Earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. It's so great to be connecting with all of you. And I hope everybody had a great 4th. How are you, Mr. Benny?
Doing pretty good.
That's my imitation of my firework display. I'm glad you got it.
So, you know, I moved to a new place. So I'm out of the old hood and this is a new hood, right?
Yeah.
And so this is a different hood. Right?
Okay.
A different hood. So in the old place, if you got like one firecracker, it was like, okay, that was the main event. Now, in the new place, which borderlines kind of the Mill Creek, like it's in the vortex of like the Mill Creek, Everett, Bothell vortex. Actually, it's actually called the vortex, actually in the Weather Channel, called that, right?
Similar to the center of the universe, yes, correct. Yeah.
Of course, everywhere I go. Everywhere I go, there I am. But, OMG. I mean, I haven't heard that many fireworks till I was living in the Bronx growing up as a kid.
Similar to...
And we used to just blow up the manholes and stuff like that,
similar,
right?
Like,
that was like...
Consistently? Is that about right?
That's Seattle. Whoa, this was like, boom! Like,
oh, yeah, boom. I don't have that.
Well... And the reason I'm bringing it up is because I think it represents the energy people are feeling.
Sure.
Right? You know, it's kind of this like, yeah, not supposed to do the fireworks because we're in the middle of a drought. But you know what? We think we're going to do them anyway because we think we're going to wait till after dark because then it's not so droughty.
Yeah. They can't catch us all bad, right? They can't catch us all. Could that be another way of thinking it? Or? I don't want to put that out there.
Did you get any fireworks where you were or no?
We actually went to a neighborhood that had them. The house that I was at, it was a barbecue. They actually did not personally. They did last year, and they're like, we're taking a break from, you know, purchases and so forth. We'll let the rest of the neighborhood do it, and I'm on board with that.
Woo!
Yep.
I'll tell you. It reminded me of, like, Katy Perry, 4th of July.
Oh, yeah.
That 4th of July.
I like those fireworks.
But you know what it brings up? Here's what it brings up. It's really interesting because I'm talking to Lee about this today. It brings up this fantasy, this idea. It brings up, shall I say, imagination. It taps in to this incredible world. When you have an event like fireworks, right, albeit the 4th of July, like July 4th, like what's that in the United States? That's like a day. And so when you have it, it represents something really interesting. But what it also represents is, and, you know, for me, Lee and I have one thing in common, Carl Jung. We probably have a bunch of other things in common. But, you know, like Carl Jung, right? I like, grew up for years saying, would you be my father? So then, of course, that's some kind of psychological Freudian thing that we're not going to get into today. But what is it about looking at looking at Dr. Carl Jung and Jungian depth psychology and thinking about the world we live in today, and what is it that has prepared Lee Adams and, you know, all of us for what we're about to step into? So today we're going to look at what Lee has done so far, and there's much more that Lee has done, in A Visionary Guide to Lucid Dreaming. Why is this important? Why is working with dream states so important in the world we live in today? We're going to dig deep into that. But when we're in those states, what if we have symbols? What if there are things that just keep showing up for us? I mean, what in this world we're living in, for many of us, even if this giant fireworks bomb goes off and you wake up, what are you seeing? What are you hearing? You know, are you starting to see things that can help us, shape us, create the conscious reality of the world we live in today? You know, this is the body of work beyond this that Lee is doing. And today, by the way, fabulous book, everybody. We have two copies, Benny. Benny, get ready. Two copies of A Visionary Guide to Lucid Dreaming, Methods for Working with Deep Dream State by my fabulous guest, my author, Lee Adams, today. Yeah. I only wish that I could have gone back and attempted to study Jungian psychology. That's what he's doing. But what is it about his pathway that is allowing him to step forward and say to all of us, there is a state that could help us in the world we live in today? Lee, it's great to have you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Patty. It's great to be on the show, and thanks for the great introduction, too.
You know, I just love having these conversations because underneath an author and underneath a book like this, and by the way, I've read the book, and so I may point to some things in the book, but I'm not going to go like, oh, on page 10 when you're talking about the route to beyond. That quote that you have, I'm not going to do that to you. I might, though. Benny's like, yeah, she'll do that. But one of the things that I really want to talk about, and I'm going to jump ahead in the book, is this repetitive nature of what we're seeing in symbols. and I don't know how to call it anything else. Maybe you can help me. I'm even struck by what I'm looking at in your background. I'm really struck by repetitive symbols, right?
Right.
You know, people look at my background and they say, really, dude, twinkle lights? Like, what is that, twinkle lights? Is that Kuan Yin? Is that like a Buddha back there? And what's that blue thing? Do you ever take the blue thing out of it? No, I cannot take the blue thing out of there because the blue thing and the representation of what it means to me, I have no idea. So here's my question. What was it like becoming you and realizing that we need to understand more now than ever what is going on in our dreams in order for us to live in the world we're living in today?
Well, that's a great question. What makes me me? And, I've always been interested in dreams, and in dreams, symbols are constantly apparent, right? And so I think it's natural for me to say, what do these, you know, symbols mean? What's the story here? What's trying to be told to me? Because, like you brought up a good point, is that oftentimes these symbols continually repeat themselves in dreams too. And so we're challenged with that, you know, especially if it's sometimes a more aggressive, nightmarish type experience, you know, or even the happy dreams, you know, like if they're repeating, we kind of bring our attention to that and say, what's going on here? So for me, you know, that's exactly what happened to me. I mean, I've had dream experiences that were very detailed, very story-driven, and had these complex messages inside them, and I wanted to understand what they were. And in our culture today, we don't generally look at symbols in the way that maybe ancient cultures did, and we don't really think of them as being important. And so in a way, it's like learning a new language. You know, you're going to, say, Japan, and you don't know the language or anything like that, and you know, you're sitting down trying to order your meal, and you have symbols in front of you, letters, you know, and things like that, and you also have the culture in front of you, and it's hard to communicate if you don't know the language what you're trying to get, you know. The person trying to take your order in this restaurant is, you know, they want to know what you're trying to say. So they're actively trying to communicate to you as well. But, you know, in that instance, it's challenging. So, you know, and for me, I'm still actively learning the language itself. And it's not something that's easy because it's contrary to what we typically think of as language in our waking life, because our languages deal with our senses, right? Like our words and things like that. So a symbol, you know, most of the time when we think of symbol, we think of just an image, right?
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily what I'm talking about. Like in dreams, you have images, but you also have auditory, you know, sensations, and you also have emotional responses to those images. And all those things together is what I really call a symbol. It's more of like a total effect on you versus just the image itself. So, but yeah, it's a complex thing. So, throughout my life, I had lucid dreams, and in a lucid dream state, it allows an individual to communicate with the dream environment in a different way than is typical. Normally, you know, it's a one-way conversation in a way. You have an experience, you wake up, and then you're like, oh, okay, I had a dream, and let me try to understand what that dream is. Where lucid dreaming comes into play is it allows you, the conscious you, to come into a dream state and then ask questions in a way that typically you would do in waking reality.
Yeah.
And in doing so, the dream symbols can communicate back to you, and they can have a dialogue with you that is typically not there.
Yeah.
So in doing so, it allows you to understand symbols in a different way, to start learning that language, to kind of build a bridge in between. So, that's where lucid dream kind of comes into play in the symbolism.
Yeah, and I love what you're just talking about here for a minute, because let's get down to, like,
the nitty gritty.
Sure.
Wasn't that like a nitty gritty dirt band? Was that like, oh my God, am I dating myself?
Yeah, you're dating yourself there.
Oh, oh boy, did we just do that? But in the book, I love the way you introduced this conversation about consciousness, because, and I want to get right to this conversation we're going to have with dreams. You say, you know, one of the things, you know, we talk about with especially transcendental meditation is, first of all, to be conscious, you have to have three things. One, it must be able to observe. It must have observed itself. It must experience a process of observation. So basically, every aspect that you can possibly imagine in 100 million times times 15 of observation, this is in three bullet points. You either are it, watching it, or becoming it.
Yeah, all at the same time. So, so the interesting part about that is, and the main point that I was trying to really get to people, which probably is overlooked.
you did a good job. I got it.
Okay.
Danny will tell you. If I get it, you did a pretty good job. It takes me a few.
Yeah, is the realization that in order to have consciousness, three things are required at the same time. So it's not like one piece evolved separately from the other and then it just happened to come together. It's actually three requirements at all times to exist at the same time for consciousness mm-hmm. to exist. So in this sense, it's kind of a way to break people out of this cell they're in, you know, and say, wow, what is consciousness? Because nothing that we know of actually requires that. Essentially, you know, in order to have those three things, if they're accurate, you know, exist at the same time, they always had to exist. And so in that sense, consciousness isn't something, the big consciousness, right? Not mm-hmm. not your memories of yourself and what you ate this morning and things like that. That's not exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the thing that actually is you, not just your physical body, let's say, always had to exist throughout all time. So essentially it follows the same rule as matter, right? Matter can't be created or destroyed, or energy can't be created or destroyed. It can be just transformed. So it's essentially equating it to that. It requires three things at all times, and if any of those pieces are missing, then it would fall apart. It wouldn't exist. So it's a very complicated thing, not something that I think that we can just recreate, you know.
What? Yeah. Okay, end of the interview. We're done. We're like, okay, he's gone. No. Because in a sense, though, when I'm reading your book, there are a couple of things I really want to point to, and really a stream that really makes this important to my first question about here's what I'm finding, Lee. I've been doing this a while. I'm not quite sure if you know how long Benny and I have been together. He's been my producer for 18 years,
which
wasn't the Dr. Pat show. And I am a student. I've always been a student. From the minute I got behind the microphone, I didn't even know what I don't know. And that's the way I show up to this. Now, there are some things in this world I do know. But this venue for me and speaking with you is an honor and a privilege, because you're bringing a body of work, I believe, into the world at the perfect time. I don't think you sat down and said, well, wait a minute, lucid dreaming, methods for working with the deep dream state. I think I will do this to get us ready for COVID-19 and the aftermath of that.
No, definitely.
Well, you might have.
I definitely didn't sense that coming, no.
Well, here's a cool thing that I want to bring up, and it has to do with awareness, but it also has to do with connecting the awareness part of the book with the interpretation part of the book. Mm-hmm. I want your opinion about this.
Sure.
I grew up as a kid with a wild imagination, mm-hmm. and I actually did grow up in the Bronx, so I wasn't joking before the show about that. That's really true. And we did do crazy things on 4th of July. I mean, my sisters blew up the bathrooms in the school. They have now passed on, so I can say that about them because nobody's going to hunt them down. But here's the thing that I realized. Now, I got sent to Dr. Jacoby for this. Maybe if you were around, that wouldn't have happened. But I was this kid that before I went to bed at night, I would carve out the characters that I were going to have in my dream, who they were going to be, if I went to see the giant behemoth at the movie theater one day, and I came back home, and I decided I needed the giant behemoth so I wouldn't get jumped on the way to school one day, I would create this pre-dream storyboard before I went to bed. And I literally, that would play out at night. At one point, I had an entire arsenal of characters, and I was a great comic book kid, great comic book fan. I did the whole comic book thing. But some people say, that's not dreaming. You know, when you pre-script your dream, that's something else. And I think in the world we're living in today, especially now what we know about the body of intention, the law of attraction, we are pre-scripting our dream states all the time if we call in intentions. And I wanted to get your sense of this, because if we can't create a sense of something so that we become more aware without ayahuasca, I mean, you could do ayahuasca. I love the Peruvians for that. But that is a hallucinogenic, which some people say does put you in a lucid dream state. But what are your thoughts, especially around the children that are growing up now, Lee? I mean, the kids that are growing up now, you can sit down with a 5- and 6-year-old, and you will be talking to them like they are 20, 21. They just have a sense of the world. What is it that happens when we decide we're going to attempt to preset our dream for the night?
Yeah, well, there's a lot to unpack there.
Go ahead.
For one,
you, hey, you got 10 minutes before the break. Go for it.
Yeah, one thing I'd say is that you're definitely dreaming. You're not dreaming when you preset your dreams, I guess. And I would say that you have a great relationship with your subconscious, which isn't a Jung term. Jung doesn't really ever really talk about a subconscious. He talks about the unconscious.
I know he does.
Subconscious is more a Freudian thing.
I think he's a closeted case on that, but we can save that for the conversation.
But I definitely support the subconscious priming thing. So, I mean, what you're talking about is essentially magic, right, in the sense that you're priming your subconscious in order to have an experience, and we constantly do that all the time, even unknowingly or knowingly. So I don't think it's strange that you can do that, you know, or strange that you experience that, because we experience it every single night. So, I mean, people often dream about things that they experience during the day, and that gives a little bit of a reason for the scientific community to kind of discredit dreams as being just random things that happen throughout your day, and then you're dreaming that. What I would say is that even though you're priming your subconscious to have these dream characters and these images appear in your dreams, I would say that there's a possibility, I don't know you and I don't know your dreams, but that your dreams are, that the dialogue and the experience inside the dream isn't necessarily the things that you desire to experience. So
exactly.
They will surprise you.
You do know me. Benny, he's like, I don't know you, but then, like, he does know me.
Yeah.
The reason I'm bringing this up for a minute is, and let me get all, like, Jungian psychology on you for a moment.
Sure.
I do another show on Thursdays called The Psychic and the Doc. And I'm not the psychic. Mark Anthony is. I get to be the doc. And one of the few times, actually, that I'm actually using this degree. But here's the thing I'm discovering, and this is, I'm so excited to have you on the show, and I got to tell you, I just love our folks at Inner Traditions, and I think Ashley and Linda brought you on. But I was so excited once I read your book. When I got to the chapter, Let's Get Lucid, I thought, he's writing this for me.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But you're writing it for a lot of people. And can I just go here for a minute and then get back to you about this?
Sure.
You could have written a book about anything. You really could have. You know, given what you're studying, given your background. But lucid dreaming, I'm going to make a statement, and you could just agree or not agree. You don't have to agree with me on this show.
Sure.
Okay, let's just be clear. But lucid dreaming for me, and based on what I know about it, based on practicing, and certainly after reading your book, I'm really trying to practice more. It is, to me, this portal to a future I know that I want. Maybe my quantum partner is already existing in it, according to my friend Jean Houston. But lucid dreaming, to me, is this gateway. Not to make life harder, but it's almost like an investigatory process where we get to find clues. Mm. I want to ask you two parts to the question, one before the break. How close am I to your definition? And please correct the part that's not.
Yeah, well...
You can say it. Don't worry. I'm not going to take it personal.
Lucid dreaming is... It's part of that. I mean, I keep it pretty simple in the sense that lucid dreaming means having awareness in a dream. So any varying degree of awareness could be considered lucid. So you're in a dream and you say, oh, I'm dreaming. One thing that, you know, attracted me to lucid dreaming, and I think, and the reason why I wrote a book about it and why it's so important in the world today is because there's so many mechanisms in our waking reality to essentially control our perception of reality, you know, to direct our attention in some one way or another and kind of frame this experience that we're having in waking reality in such a way that it's that way. It's the way that the mass chooses, right?
Yeah.
And we can find this in religion, we can find this in politics, we can find it pretty much everywhere in our existence. What lucid dreaming is essentially a tool that is ingrained in each of us to essentially have freedom of thought, and allows us to explore our consciousness and our unconscious in such a way that is the way that we choose. So it's essentially one of the only things that we have, I think, that allow us to explore freely and without a bunch of people and politicians and so on telling us exactly what we should think, right? So as a tool, it's very liberating.
Yeah.
And, you know, each individual's experience is very different than another person, and intentionally, because we're vastly different people. We vastly have different experiences, and we're in different places in our life than other people. So the dreams are tailored using images throughout our waking life to convey messages through symbols that are important to us in some fashion. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's directing us to be a better person or, say, you know, what we define as better person, right? But people would say it's directed by a higher self, right? Like the capital S, which is a Jungian term, self,
yeah.
Higher self. So that's what Jung would say, is it's directing towards us in that way. And not just Jung, but, you know, occultists and many religious practitioners throughout the world,
yep.
You know, would say the exact same thing. So it's not something that is just Jung, you know, spewing off his stuff.
No. Believe me, I know it's not him, but I also know Maslow really took a beating when he put self-actualization on the top of his pyramid.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, fast forward to where we are. Yeah, fast forward to where we are today and say, bingo, there we go with that.
Yeah.
But one of the things I do want to ask you, and I want to talk with you about it when we come back. First of all, I love the way you give us different levels to participate. That's brilliant. I think it's one of the first books I've seen on lucid dreaming, on dreaming, where you say you can enter this by doing this, and this will take care of this. Or you can go more advanced, and by the way, give up caffeine. Did you see me drink my black coffee right there?
Well,
so
I'm not
that
right
good.
Now, so.
Yeah, I'm not that good. That's not me. But then the other thing that we're talking about is extending technique. So you really take us in this book on a pathway that allows us to participate at the beginning, at the basic level, or then move forward. I do want to ask you this question, because I've always baffled myself with this and Dr. Carl. You know, clearly, and if you've ever seen pictures of Dr. Carl sculpting time, you know, he was a sculptor. I often wondered about that process of creating art and the way that he looked at life. And, you know, the thing I want to talk to you about is, if this is not about becoming a, quote, better person, then is it in fact about finding our right pathway, and not right as righteous, but right pathway for each of us? Because honestly, I never thought I would get out of being homeless and selling hot dogs on a street corner. I thought that was my pathway. I just love that job. It's the best job I ever had. But what is it about this process that could help us find the next door, reach for the doorknob, and have the courage to open it? That's what I want to talk with you about when we come back from break.
Okay.
You can think about that. You'll have 3 minutes. The clock starts now. Benny, let's take a short break. We've got two copies of the book to give away. I think we have one left, 1-800-930-2819. We'll be right back. My very special guest, Lee Adams, will tell you how to get a copy of the book and how to find out about A Visionary Guide to Lucid Dreaming. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Trish Love from A Cup of Comfort, where we talk about Care Hero topics that nobody wants to talk about. Here's your Care Hero tip of the day. During all Care Hero journeys, we need to keep track of a lot of information arises, some of it critical. Possibly the greatest challenge Care Heroes face is the gathering and organizing of information. Just as every trade has a power tool, whether an electric drill or a laptop, my family's Care Hero power tool was the three-ring binder. We generated a mini library of labeled three-ring binders, one for each category of information, complemented with additional spiral notebooks used to detail medical appointments and episodes. This unfussy and convenient system of binders helped my family stay organized and able to deliver the dignified care and end of life my parents desired. Tune into my show to learn more. See you on the second and fourth Tuesday of the month at 12 Pacific here on Transformation Talk Radio. Feel free to reach out to me at info@trishlau.com.
The truth is funny. This happens. The Colette Marie Steffens is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living, LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there. But when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your money. From the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio, and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
Don't worry.
Hey, that is older than, like, the one that I did with the little nitty-gritty dirt band, yeah?
Yeah, right, exactly.
That's like my sister's generation right there. Woo, that's a good, that's the Everly Brothers.
Yes, it is.
Did I surprise you that I knew that?
No. I didn't know you like that, but.
Not to be confused with Hall & Oates.
Way different band.
Different, but you know, they kind of looked a little bit the same. Like, mm-hmm. I think, like, maybe Hall & Oates maybe kind of did like a copycat on the Everly Brothers, but that's another show.
Possible.
That's a power up show. How many Tina Turners are there in the world? Raise your hand. Welcome back, everyone. I want to say that I'm really great to have Lee Adams join me here today, the author of A Visionary Guide to Lucid Dreaming, Methods for Working with the Deep Dream State. Before we talk about how lucid dreaming actually helps us realize our life's pathway, or makes us more aware of our life's pathway, or at least gives us like a clue, take the right, not the left. How do people find out about you, Lee? How do they get a copy of the book?
Well, they can go to luciddreambook.com. That takes everybody to my website. But they can also search on Amazon or through InterTraditions and find my book through there. So,
okay.
And they can contact me directly through my website as well,
yeah.
Which is tailleaders.com. But the luciddreambook.com takes you to the same website. I just made it easier because my site's name is a little strange, I'd say. So.
No, I think it's great that you did that. And what I want to say to everybody, if you want to start working with your dream and want to, you know, want to coach today, you can also go to this website, and right there you'll see Dream Coaching. Right next to Get the Book, there's Great Dream Coaching, and there's a bunch of other things, especially the blog. Take a look at some of the blogs on here. Really interesting. And so go down to the Lucid Dreaming Challenges. That's a good one, too. But there's everything you want to know about Lee on here. If you're thinking, I need some more help. I need some help with my dream. Take a look at what some people are saying about their dreams, and then go ahead and contact Lee. Schedule your appointment. So one of the things we are fascinated by is, you know, and I said this earlier, I don't know what I don't know about a lot of things, but I'm so willing to discover. And what I've discovered about myself, if I use the tools that are available to me, life is a dream. Life is a dream. Now, that's an old song, Benny. Life is a dream. And when I think about that, I've often had to think about as I'm reading your book, how some things have come to me. And that's my question to you. You know, I've shared with the listeners that one day, driving back from the studio where Benny's sitting right now, I hit the I-90, and my dashboard lit up. And I could see the entire vision on what the network was that we were to build, including how to build it. And from that point on, I literally had to pull over. And from that point on, though, the image kept coming back and coming back and coming back. Can you talk about how the pathway from dreaming, symbols, and understanding them to help us or guide us through our lives?
Yeah, sure, yeah. Well, I mean, it's very individual again. So, I mean, you brought up an interesting experience about being awake and having an experience where you could say symbols of an experience, a symbolic experience, kind of communicated to you something that you wanted to do, you know, or needed to do. I'd say my book is actually came to me that way. So it wasn't something that I really was intending to do, but I had this strong need inside myself to put something out there in a way that people could learn from, you know, in about dreams. And I didn't necessarily think that I was the person to say that. I actually felt that I was the person that would probably be most unlikely to say that. I have a bad history of like grammar and spelling and all that and language.
Yeah.
So, but you know, kind of like the story of Moses, I think in a way, I kind of felt like that and I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. So I put it down and then, you know, and when the book was published, things in waking reality seemed to align with that, you know, like lucid dreams have been in the recent news as well as film and TV. So it's kind of perfect timing in a way. So, but dreams, you know, they present us with these narratives, these stories symbolically. And in my book, actually, the last half of it is essentially showing the individuals who read it about creating their own personal myth through the book. And most people think of myth, they think of fantasy, fake story, right, about, you know, their superheroes or ancient Greeks doing all these things, right? But what they fail to realize is that these stories are not about gods. They're actually about themselves, and the people that wrote those stories were trying to convey that message to them, that these stories are actually about each individual going through these processes. They're normal processes that happen to us. And so I attribute most of my book to the hero's journey, which is Joseph Campbell's work. He essentially saw these myths throughout history and symbols, and he identified a pattern that takes place, and he really went into and described this pattern. So I kind of attribute dream experiences to the hero journey. Joseph Campbell was more talking about waking experiences, which would be kind of relatable to your experience, you know, like where you interacted with something and it would convey a message to you of something that you felt like you should do. And so I kind of turned it around and put it into a dream state, because really I don't think of dreams being a higher priority than waking reality. I think that you can interact through rituals and, you know, like ritualistic type of practices and things like that to work with symbols. But you can also do that in dream state. I'm an introvert, so I look internally for meaning, and so dreams are something that I align with. But an extrovert would probably project into reality their psychological workings and then work with that way. So what, you know, it's a hard thing to really describe, but essentially how our brains work is that everything that we experience is internal, right? We take information and then we generate a picture of those things inside our mind, and that's how we relate to reality. The things that we experience in reality aren't necessarily the things that they are. They're representative. The things that we see in our mind and experience in our mind are actually representative of the things in reality. They're not the things of the reality. So in that sense, it's how we see reality versus what reality is. And so in that sense, we can interact with reality in such a way that is very personal, has personal meaning to it, and also has a individual myth to it. So dreams obviously are the same way, in the sense that we're kind of removed from external experiences, so much so that most of the images are generated internally. And in that sense, it's kind of more of a more clear picture of a mythic, you know, where it's symbolic. But what I'm getting to is that essentially all things are symbolic, and in the sense that they are representing things. The symbols themselves are representing things that are much more complex and not the things that we're experiencing ourselves. Yeah. So,
well, you know, it's an interesting play, too, because it's a great way to understand it. I was talking to somebody over the weekend, and we were talking about, they had heard my tagline on the show, what would you do if you knew you could not fail? And I've talked about this a lot recently, and you know, the question really begs, you know, how do we live our lives? So we lived in that. And then I got a quote on my desk this morning. I've not failed. I just found the 10,000 things that do not work. And, right?
Right.
And the reason I'm asking you this question is because in my dreams, and I think in people's dreams, sometimes we get messages about things that will work and things that wouldn't, but we get to play them out.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to play them out in various ways. The thing that I want to talk with you about is this idea of decoding and being able to understand the dream. Because a lot of times, you know this, sometimes we'll have a dream and a lucid dream and a dark thing shows up,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And now, I joked about this on the show last week, but I will never watch Nightmare on Elm Street ever again. I won't watch, I watched number one, and I went through a phase where I watched this, and it didn't faze me.
Mm-hmm.
But recently, you know, I was flipping the channels, and there it was, and I had a moment where I got like, oh, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, what does Freddy Krueger represent to me?
Exactly.
Right? I mean, is it like Nightmare on Elm Street? It's a movie.
Right.
It's a movie. But why in today, why would a Freddy Krueger movie and Nightmare on Elm Street, why would that give me like a little bit of a, like,
yeah.
oopsie?
Well, that's very individual, you know. I can watch Nightmare on Elm Street and completely see it in a different aspect than you do. I tend to see movies now symbolically. So
yes.
What do these characters represent to me? You know, like the person that generated the story, right, the scriptwriters and the director, they projected into the film their psychology, even if they're unknowingly doing it. So Freddy Krueger isn't just a scary dude, you know, running around cutting people up in their dreams. He represents something very, you know, very real because we relate to it. So because we have an emotional response to it, it means that something inside of us is actually relatable to that character in the sense that it's real, just not the character that we see on the screen. So it's symbolic, right?
Yep.
And that's what I'm getting to with symbols, is that they represent things. And even super complex things that we really can't understand. So, but Freddy Krueger to me, you know, I definitely have had my share of nightmares involving Freddy Krueger. And Freddy Krueger has transformed over time to maybe represent more closely to the source of what, where I feel that emotional impact come from by any, you know, changing images and things like that. So a lot of people experience Freddy Krueger-like beings in or visitors, we could call them, in sleep paralysis and things like that, and I've definitely experienced that. So, and Rudolf Steiner, if you know his work, he wrote about Guardian in the Threshold, things
yep.
like that. So,
and you talk about this in your book,
yeah.
and that's really, you know, what I wanted to bring up. You talk
very
about
guardians yeah.
of the dream, and, you know, the deal with me that I don't think I said to you is before I went to bed, I assigned an army of guardians for me. But talk about guardians and guides, because I don't know that people really have a sense of guardians and guides in the lucid dreaming perspective.
Well, I'll be honest, I don't really have a good definition of them either. You know, what I'm coming to more and more is that these are so individual, right? It's so complex that it requires an experience. It requires a relationship with these things in order to actually know who they are or to get a sense of what they are, right? It's like sitting down and having a cup of coffee with a friend. You know, you can have a 10-minute conversation with somebody that you've never met before, like, you know, kind of the radio does, or you can have like a couple hour, you know, conversation with somebody, you really get to know them, right? And what we're doing in dreams is we're kind of taking the content of dreams into waking reality, and we're trying to dissect it and put it into little boxes and say, oh, this is what that is, and this is what it's not. And I always go back to like the conversation with a friend. It would be very improper and also reductionist of me to say, oh, my friend is this or that, you know, and put a, you know, be like, oh, they said this word so many times, so therefore this word represents them, kind of thing, or whatever, you know. Obviously, my friend is constantly changing, so anytime that I visit this person, you know, over the years, they've changed in such ways that it surprises me, right? And,
yeah.
And they're quite dynamic. So the same thing goes for dream content. My main goal is not so much to tell people what these things are and what these things aren't. It's instead to allow them to have an experience that is inside themselves, right? Like they have the tools and ability to do it. They just need to kind of practice some of those experiences so they can engage with those things themselves and really learn for themselves what they are and aren't. Through my experiences, which are in the book, talking about guardians and things like that, they've been protectors, you know. They've guided me in order to look at different parts of myself that I never really thought I could look at or I should look at, and really challenge me in those ways. And they've challenged me through fear, a lot of fear, also, you know, overcoming that fear and kind of at least working with it and to understand what that fear is. And even, you know, the scary ones, the ones that I felt were the worst, are actually the biggest teachers of mine, if I really step back and look at it, you know. And oftentimes, you know, it's kind of, it's symbolically expressed in like the story of Job, where you encounter something and it's so terrifying and scary and destructive that you kind of just push it away and you never encounter it again because it's so traumatic. But what happens in that story is essentially the individual Job has an experience and then goes back and challenges it again. And so when you do that, the dream symbols, the characters, kind of understand what you're doing. You know, they're like, oh, okay, I challenged you, and you kind of came back at me and said, so what, you know? Then the real content comes out.
Yeah.
You know, because that was the initial phase to see if you would actually have the gumption to come back and actually face the things that you're terrified of, you know, like
yeah.
the Freddy Krueger. And
yeah.
that's what the characters do in Freddy Krueger, too, you know, is they... one of the characters is no longer terrified, you know, of Freddy Krueger. It's like, hey, you know, you do whatever
you want.
Well,
she's the heroine.
Right.
Yeah, they brought her back for Nightmare Part 2. I don't remember.
Right.
But, yeah, she's the heroine, right?
Yeah, and the theme is over and over again in Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, every movie, it's like...
it's the same.
The same exact story, where the person is faced with Freddy Krueger, and they're like... I'm not going to have it anymore. And then Freddy Krueger's like, oh my gosh, this person isn't doing what I expected them to do.
Yep.
I've lost my power. And then they have
yeah.
nothing anymore. So we can see this theme in so many different movies, right? And when the power is taken away, the person just falls apart. It's the same thing with
yeah.
like Lord of the Rings, where, you know, the ring is destroyed and the power just falls out. You know, they disintegrate into nothing. So, but before, you know, they're a super powerful being that can't be destroyed and everyone's terrified of it, you know. But something so simple as a ring, you know, is powerless. So.
And you know, this is really part of what you're talking about, too, and I can't remember where it is, but, you know, we're talking about hidden gateways, too. We're talking about the mind. We're talking about, you don't say this in the book, but... I'm always fascinated by how little of our brain we're actually using and, you know, whether or not I believe that the rest of the brain will get used in the complete esoteric realm. You know, that's like my dream for that. But the symbolism in the world we're living in today and how much of it we hang on to and seeing symbols is so much a part of our life and so much a part of your work and book.
Mm-hmm.
And yet at some times we don't really know that we're seeing a symbol. Let me give you an example. Anytime we find a penny, and this is kind of like, if we find a penny, if Linda and I find a penny in the weirdest places, there's the penny. Why would we be looking down? There is the penny and it's heads up. Symbolically, we both look at each other and we say, that's Joan, Linda's mom, who passed. So, and then we always follow it up by, I wonder what Joan's trying to tell us. Now, that's a strange thing because, you know, in a sense, we have this penny as a symbol that we relate to Joan, somebody that is of an incredible mentorship and wisdom for Linda and I. And then we ask, I wonder what Joan's trying to tell us. So, you know, when we find these symbols and we become aware of them, the next thing is, what do I do with them, Lee?
Well, don't necessarily agree with me on this one, but I tend to think that this is a rational conclusion to what symbols actually are. And in the sense that symbols are everything. Everything you possibly could ever experience is symbolically it's symbolically representing something, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I see you. This obviously is not who you really are, you know, like a screen. You're not my monitor. So I'm symbolically representing something that's infinitely deep, right? You would take a lifetime to know, probably multiple lifetimes to know because you're constantly changing. And so it's symbolic, right? But say yesterday I was driving and I was looking at license plates, and one license plate kind of jumped out to me, right? And I sat there and I looked at the license plate and I said, well, why is this license plate jumping out to me? So say everything comes into my mind, you know, I kind of talked about this before, and everything is equal, right? Then why did my mind pick out this license plate out of all the other license plates? Well, it has some type of important meaning to me, right? Because it jumped out. It's much more meaningful than the other ones. So what does it have to say? So even if you don't really believe in a spiritual realm or anything like that, you could talk in psychological terms, and psychologically it would mean that this license plate has something internally, psychologically, to tell me. So it's communicating symbolically, not the license plate itself as a physical object, but the mind and how it interacts with the images that I'm seeing and how it's represented from the license plate. That has some type of symbolic meaning to me. So in a lot of ways, it's like a language, like I kind of expressed before. And so I'm actively trying to learn the language of symbols because it's not speaking to me in English. You know, some people hear voices, right? And they're very, like, clear voices that tell them things, right? And wouldn't that be nice, you know, like, if symbolically my mind used language, you know, to communicate to me, but it doesn't do that for whatever reason. And so this language of images and, you know, and emotions and things like that, it's very complex. But with any complex language, if you can learn it and understand it, the meaning is so much more in depth, right? And that's kind of where, you've probably heard of, like, gnosis and things like that, where knowledge can come from gaining a knowing of things through experience, through symbols. And that's where gnosis comes from, is this symbolic understanding, right? I would like to think of it as a very complex language that most of us have never interacted with in consciously, yep. And that it's a forgotten language that is essentially the building foundation of all languages and ourselves.
Yeah.
So it's absolutely essential, I think, to people learn symbolic language. And I'm not a skilled professional at it. I'm an individual that says, hey, you know, like, if you have a dream and you come to me and you ask me questions about my dream, I say, well, what does that mean to you? Because the language is actually written in such a way that it's about you. It's about your experiences, not so much mine. We can relate in some images, and that's where Jung came up with the idea of, like, universal images, because universally we're kind of built the same way, right? We have a pattern in our body structures and our brain structures and how we interact with reality, that certain images come out to be more impactful than others. So, for instance, like the Ouroboros is a very impactful image of mine. I have, like, a picture on my chair about the snake eating its tail. And so it's been something that's very impactful through my entire life. And I've seen the Ouroboros come up in many different things, and also it's kind of directed me to learn different things about that image. So, like, arrival.
I think one of the things that we're talking about here, and we're really, you know, we've got about 30 seconds left. What we're talking about here is, first and foremost, you know, you really bring the importance of this to the forefront. And if the first step is awareness, it's something all of us can do. I mean, what would be the odds that I'm going through boxes in my garage and I come across a box and I find some very sacred material that I had put away over a decade ago? And one of them is a rattlesnake skin that, honestly, I didn't know existed. So all of a sudden now I have the symbol of that is imprinted, and it won't go away. And I think what you're saying, and especially in the book as the way you guide us through it, you know, you're asking us, one, if we become more aware, and then if we can understand the process of lucid dreaming, you know, then we move through, as you say, this is a visionary guidebook. You know, this is where you're talking about everything from dreams to lucid dreams to really stepping into the world of symbolism. And that in itself, if we stop there and then get the book and read it, there's a whole new world that opens.
The V
views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Tuesday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the town. Good thing, folks, so far no major blocking or accidents to report at the moment. Still a little bit slowing on I-5 northbound around the West Seattle Bridge, heading up into downtown Seattle. Good thing it will break free after yesterday. Way those downtown Seattle exits smooth through the 520. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time it's Connect with the Extraterrestrials with special guests. Glow Rod. Stay tuned. NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. Elsa is bringing tropical storm force winds to the Florida Keys and Key West. Sam Brock says the winds are hitting very hard.
There's been significant surf crashing over the seawall. This is normal in September. This is not normal in July.
The National Hurricane Center says heavy rainfall is also coming down in that area as the storm is about 65 miles from Key West and winds at 60 miles per hour as it moves north-northwest at 10 miles per hour. Numerous watches and warnings are in effect across portions of Florida as the storm sits about 215 miles south of Tampa. Forecasters also say hurricane conditions are possible in west central Florida tonight into early tomorrow. It's been grueling, to say the least, for the search and rescue teams in the South Florida condo collapse. Miami-Dade Fire Chief Alan Kaminsky says crews are giving it their all.
We're going full speed, 110%.
The death toll now stands at 32, with 113 people still unaccounted for. Lisa Taylor, NBC News Radio.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you test and inject daily, you may qualify. Call U.S. Med now to learn more.
800-426-0557. 800-426-0557. 800-426-0557. That's 800-426-0557.
And let's go ahead and take a look now for Alternative Talk weather. Outlook for Tuesday, we'll see mostly sunny skies again today. High temperatures around 82, 83 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear skies, lows back down to about 60. For Wednesday and for Thursday, partly to mostly sunny skies. High temperatures a little cooler, about 10 degrees cooler, down to about 72, 73. Partly cloudy skies through the overnight, lows in the upper 50s, 58, 59. More sunshine returning for Friday, highs around 81.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
The Finder of Lost Things, exploring your superpowers of trust, healing, and transformation with me, Hannah Belton. When my brother Christian went missing, I completely denied my grief. We can either transform and transition, or we can stay stagnant. This podcast will uncover the process that Christian and I went on to find the lost things, him, and to find the parts of me that were missing. And there are things that are missing in you that prevent you from letting go, whether it's a person, a dream, a lifestyle. That process of trusting and finding the lost pieces and integrating them, that's where you get your sustainable transition that will carry on. Tune in every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You can find me at HannahBelton.online.
Tired of not losing the weight? You need a healthy solution for weight loss that protects your muscle mass as the fat burns away naturally. Holistic Medical Center has the healthy option for your weight loss concerns. Lose 1 to 3 pounds per day in 21 days, naturally, under our physician supervision. Call Holistic Medical Center, 425-451-0404. Or on the web, drdarvish.com, drdarvish.com.
What we've been taught and told is not all there is. Life is all about energy, and the energy you feel is real. Tune into the Energy Paradigm each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com with Dr. Vic.
The energy paradigm is an eye-opening, mind-shifting, transformative, and earth-shattering way to live, work, and do business that will enable you to unlock your magic every day. Visit TheEnergyParadigm.com.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I'm Dr. Pat. You're listening to the Dr. Pat Show. I've got a great lineup for you today. Just in a minute, you'll be talking with Glow Rod. Glow Rod, who is that? That is Gloria Rodriguez. And Gloria Rodriguez, you know, is a Portal Journey ambassador. She began this in 1980. You know, she loves what she does, and she loves, loves, loves it. One of her many highest excitements is to be of service. But today, you're going to meet her in terms of one of her greatest gifts, one of her greatest gifts, the freedom to choose. But more than that, what is it when we step into the true nature of who we are and we take on the conversations that we're just called to take on? Connect with extraterrestrial special guest Glow Rod today. But here's the thing. You know, since the Pentagon Report, we did a show on the Pentagon Report the other day. Many of you said it's underwhelming. It wasn't necessarily underwhelming because there were some really important bits of information in it. You know, part of it was the conversation about blah, 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 no evidence. But if you looked at that report a little bit more closely, it talked about multisensory evidence. But my co-host today doesn't need that multisensory evidence because she's living multisensory evidence. And so what is it in the world that we're living in today? What is the meaning? What is the messaging? Mm-hmm. You know, what have we so long tried to deny in the world? When you ask people out there, if you study over and over, a million studies have been done, and they ask people the same thing. Do you think we're the only type of existence in the universes, a million universes? And most people are like, nah, we think they're like people on other planets, maybe on Avatar. Maybe on whatever that planet is, an avatar. But people will talk to the fact that they may not know exactly what it is, but they don't deny the fact that their consciousness brings them to the place of acknowledging. Today, joining me here today, we're talking about connect with extraterrestrials, but we're talking to what the keys are. What is it that folks are now thinking and saying, especially with the Pentagon report that came out, and many of us thought there'd be a lot more in it, but the point is there's an acknowledgement and awareness. Gloria, it's great to have you here today. Great to have you on the show. And we've got to get Gloria unmuted. What we're going to do, Benny and Malia, let's go to a short break. When we come back from break, here's the thing we're going to touch on with Gloria. When you live in this world and you're thinking about the connections, if you go to westportals.us, if you take a look at what Gloria is setting up, if you look at the 8 portals in the Western United States, if you look at what this is for her, what it's about, what it means to be of service, and you think about how things seem to be lining up and coming together in ways that a humanity is still struggling with, then what you will learn by the end of this show is to embrace your true self and in the process understand the synchronicity of the orchestration of the life that is yours. Short break, Benny. Short break, Malia. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
everybody. Welcome back. Thank you for tuning us in, turning us on. Yes, we're ready to do this show. Gloria, thank you so much for today. I've already done an introduction. And let's talk about connect with extraterrestrials. Let's talk about what we've learned are the keys. And, you know, what's some of the roles? We have a new level of awareness now. And I was talking about this in the first segment where I was talking about the fact we now have the Pentagon Report. And the Pentagon Report says things but doesn't say a whole lot. But the point is there is a report. And the report acknowledges things for people that were not being acknowledged. I mean, but in your case, we're talking about a life's path with you to get a greater awareness of our relationships, extraterrestrials, energies, and other consciousness. And, you know, one of the things you say, we are all well. We are all well, and we are all one. How do we go about this? What are some of the keys?
Well, some of the keys are appreciation. And when you appreciate just the little things, so the extraterrestrial family has taught me the importance of the top three things to appreciate. One is air. We have to have air. We need water as well as sleep. So when we appreciate, when you wake up in the morning and you appreciate being able to sleep, you're actually peeling away that which does not, and remember that the joy is in the journey, and the journey is the goal. So you've achieved the goal. It's very simple. It's very easy. And the key, one of the keys is to appreciate. So appreciate the air that you breathe, or you wouldn't be here in the space-time reality. Appreciate the water that you drink. And when you take action, this minuscule action, you're actually making a change. You're becoming closer to your inner self. You're bringing awareness and linking to energy. And that's just one key.
When we're thinking about this energy, and let's just talk about it from what just happened to us today for a minute. You know, there is an energy, and you know, we have basically been given a few things that that have been thrown our way. And, you know, some people have feel very comfortable in these past 18 months. They've gotten guidance. They understand the guidance. They understand the symbols. They understand what it means to be aware. But you see, even in what happened at the beginning of the show, right? I mean, yes. If you're at the beginning of the show, and we run into this all the time. And so let me just tell you, whenever we're dealing with high vibrational things and content, inevitably, the bandwidth that we're trying to communicate on or that we are trying to be communicated with on is not strong enough, right? And I have come into this over and over and over again. Now, high-speed fiber has helped, but when we peel away things, is the key for us a new level of awareness?
Absolutely. In many ways, yes.
Yeah. And that new level
of awareness. About how there was a challenge at the beginning of our program. Many people ask me, well, how come extraterrestrials don't come and say hello to us? How come they don't appear right away? Well, one of the answers, and they have shared this with me, is that their energy level is so high, it would actually hurt us. And they're not here to hurt us. They're here to help us and educate us. So it's interesting. When I look at the challenge we had this morning, I'm like, ooh, maybe there's too much energy between you and I.
Yeah, because we were ready for this conversation, right?
We were.
We are. We are ready for this conversation.
Absolutely.
I just did a show before, and, you know, let me just throw something at you and just have you come back with it. I have become recently acutely aware of different things in my environment and how important it is to get to this place where I'm growing, where I'm learning. And I want to talk about this for a minute. You know, when we peel away doubt, Oh, my gosh. Gloria, seriously, can you imagine what would happen if we could peel away doubt? Oh, yeah. And I have a story to share with you, Pat. Please. The end of May, I went to the extraterrestrial portal, and I was interested in creating a new video, an extraterrestrial portal journey video. And that was the goal. And also to meet individuals in the city where the extraterrestrial portal is located. So I walked into my room, and as I was passing the cabinet, I noticed the microwave. And the microwave had the number 222. And immediately when I saw those numbers, I'm like, I became self-aware. And then I turned on the lights, and I noticed that the lamps were in a triangle. And that's a symbol to me that I'm in the right place at the right time. That's just a clue for me. And so I thought, right here, right now, I am linked to energy because everything is energy. And I just felt that my consciousness was expanded. So then I grabbed my iPad and I'm like, ooh, now's a good time to start filming for my video. So I walked outside and I saw this image and I started filming. And then I noticed static. And I'm like, oh, what did I do wrong? What happened? And I immediately accused myself of something that maybe I shouldn't have done. And I could hear my higher mind say, everything's all right. Do it again. So I saved that piece for the video, and I started filming again. And the static appeared again. And right then and there, I knew I was linked to my extraterrestrial family. And it was a feeling of welcome home. And it also gave me a feeling that they're making a cameo appearance in my video. Ooh, look at me. Aha. And I was so alive and aware and just greatly appreciative that I was in the right place at the right time. And I was just ready to start filming and meeting these people and setting up an opportunity for individuals to experience the extraterrestrial portal as well. So, I mean, that was the first night within the first couple hours that I was there.
Wow. You know, I want to just really follow through on what we're talking about here today, because there's a connection with extraterrestrials. And this is something that since the inception of my show way back, one of the first interviews I've ever done, you know, we talked about things like having a quantum partner. I mean, there's been a lot of references, right, to ETs over time.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
Nothing more powerful than the Hollywood blockbuster movie, E.T. And you have to ask yourself this question, you know, what's operating? What's coming first, the chicken and the egg? Is this Steven Spielberg's consciousness about creating a blockbuster movie like this? Or did Steven Spielberg actually get some information to give him the awareness of this? And, you know, here's my question, because I don't know that there's a simple answer, but if we're linking energy because everything is energy, then how do we guide ourselves on the pathway to become self-aware based on even the story you told with looking at all the symbols that are being presented to us?
And there are plenty, absolutely plenty. Mm-hmm. For sure. Even walking around, and here I live in the town, and my extraterrestrial family has shared with me that this is a UFO airport.
Hmm.
So the other night, I noticed something in the sky, and I'm like, I've got to film this. And I started filming it. And then people were asking me, look at the pictures I've taken. What does this mean? I'm like, they are here. They are around us. And whatever you're hearing from the government, you have to really look inside and say, what do I believe? Because this is what I'm seeing. I've got pictures. I've got videos. People are talking about this. They're being open. And first of all, you just have to go inside and go, do I believe?
Yeah.
Do I trust? Do I respect them? Because they are very, extremely highly intelligent and filled with unconditional love and peace. So are you ready for that? And if you are, there's plenty of ways
for you to connect to that energy.
Mm-hmm. You know, Gloria, look, this is really sort of an interesting time to be alive. I used to say that like a long time ago, but it's really an interesting time to be alive. You know, this is really where the tools and the awareness is available to us, but I really want to get to something that's so critical and so important, and that is expanding your consciousness and raising your energy level. I don't know how exactly to frame this, but the thing I do know about it, and I'd love for you to talk to about it, is as human beings, we're extremely judgmental and judgmental mm-hmm. of ourselves
mm-hmm.
to the point where when we're talking about expanding our consciousness and raising our energy level, we think we're not enough to even do that. We're not at the place where we're receiving the gift to say, just start where you are. Tell us about the message behind expanding your consciousness and raising your energy level.
My extraterrestrial family has shared with me, appreciation is one key. Noticing that you see numbers or symbols or animals. So, for instance, when I was in the extraterrestrial portal, I was filming a particular area, and I was like, no, it's not time yet. But I was ready, just like we were ready this morning. I was ready to start filming. I'm like, no, not yet. I'm following my heart. I'm following my gut. And I'm just like, not ready, not now. And so I went off and I did a couple of other things and filmed another area. And then I was like, my heart and my gut, I could hear my higher mind go, it's time. And so I went back to the place where I was going to film, and there was an animal sitting there. And I thought, I'm in the right place. I'm in the right time. So noticing numbers that pop up, noticing symbols, like I was talking about the triangle for me is balance, is in the right place. And there was an animal there and watched me film and didn't move, just like watching me. So there are plenty of clues and plenty of signs, but you really have to just feel it and just know I'm in the right place. And there are people, such as myself, who are here to help you and guide you through all of this. And I have several participants who text me and call me and go, you wouldn't believe what happened. I'm like, yes, I would. It's a lot easier than we think. We just put so much pressure on ourselves. And I myself have been there, trust me. And as you were sharing with us during our first radio show, you had a challenge to get this task done, and you decided to go outside and shovel. But that was peeling away that doubt. You were releasing. And then you went in and you got your project done and everybody was happy. Yes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, this, let me ask you this, because this is really, I got to really tap into your wisdom here. Somehow we have fallen in to the notion that what we need is not really available to us to live an amazing life. That's not the way you live. It's
no.
not the way I live, but I have moments of doubt. And
oh, yeah.
you're bringing the conversation to the street here to say, wait a minute, there's help on the way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it was interesting when I was creating my 13-month program, I didn't do it by myself. One morning I woke up and it's like, it's a team effort. Let's do this. And I could feel my higher mind. I call it my energy entourage is what I call it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could hear my extraterrestrial family. I could hear my soul family and my spirit guides and my Kachina. I could hear them all going, it's time. It's time for us to work together, to put together programs and journeys or tours and say, you know what? We have to remember, the joy is in the journey. The journey is the goal. And as you're on this journey, you're achieving that goal. It is really that simple. And for me, when I first heard that, I'm like, it's too simple. And they're like, no, no, no. Watch what happens.
You know,
that's what they've with me.
Yeah. Can you just talk to this for a minute? Because what you just said is so critical. Because there's a point of freedom in what you've just said. And I want to talk about that point of freedom. you know, this point of freedom that people are, my sense is people are feeling a little suffocated, like they don't have points of freedom. But you live your life from the point of freedom. And, you know, you're here to serve. And so when I think about what your message is and being here to serve, you know, I often wonder, and we'll talk about this when we come back from break, I often wonder, what if we really trusted? What if we really trusted, Gloria, right?
Well, I'm ready to go there. That's it.
When we come back, we're going to get all over this. Because I will tell you, if you ask me to give you statistics on the consequences of not trusting or the consequences of breaking promises, I can tell you what happens when we don't. But when we come back, I want to talk about trust. I want to talk about the many layers of it, the many facets of it. Interesting, I want to leave you with this to think about before we came back. I was going through some things in the garage because, you know, I moved into a new place and there are some books I don't need anymore. But accidentally, a couple of books made it into the pile of I don't need them anymore. And we're going through some stuff in the garage because I'm setting up my ping pong table. And out of one of the bags is a little pamphlet by Emmett Fox. And it's called Be Still. It's one of the many pamphlets he's written. But he talks about this be still, and he's notorious for taking psalms and things from scriptures and talking about the symbols of them. But in the end, this little be still, little teeny pink booklet is all about trust. When we come back, we're going to talk about what trust means and how much of a game changer it is. For those of you out there, Gloria, what's the best website? Westportals.us, is that the best one?
I would start with connectwithets.com. So connectwithets.com.
What is it we're trusting in? If we trust in the revolution, if we trust what we believe, when we come back, are you willing to trust yourself? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The complexity of life? Do you feel that urge to step into something greater? Tune in to Nailed It Radio. Find your simplicity within your complexity with me, life coach Carrie Nail. Tune in each month on transformationtalkradio.com to discover what it means to use your full power to be the best version of yourself. Imagine stepping into the energy of saying yes to yourself and knowing you nailed it. For more information about me, visit carrienail.com.
Feeling stuck? Journey into a new exciting reality today. Join Coach Christine Clark as she helps you forge the life you desire through processes that shape, hone, refine, elasticize, and transform you. Go beyond the curve and call in your unique destiny. Tune into the show, Forging a Life, live every fourth Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Christine, visit SunglowTransformation.com.
Are you ready to invest in your best self? Join Sabrina Wright as she shares tools for creating joy and balance in your life every single day. Sabrina is here to help you become your greatest advocate and empower you to make decisions that will help you live your best life. The Live the Good Life Show, connecting your physical and spiritual self. Every second Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Find Sabrina at the Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, balance.com.
Tune in to the show Heart Change Consciousness with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, as stories of inspired activism come to life. Listening to conversations with your favorite authors, changemakers, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Let's be inspired together through my show Heart Change Consciousness on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dream that sets your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes to live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Everybody, welcome back. What a fabulous show, you know, Glow. You know, a Portal Journey Ambassador, Glow Roth, Gloria Rodriguez, Portal Journey Ambassador, to be of service. You know, to be this ambassador began in 1980. And, you know, if you take a look at what she's saying, whether you go to the website, you know, connectwithets.com, or you go to West Portals, which I gave out before, westportals.us, it doesn't matter which one you go to. You know, you're going to see the question and the message over and over and over again. And today we're talking about connect with ETs, how you do this, what does it mean? And it's more than just this. Isn't this also for you a way to help people do this connection for the purpose of clarity, for the purpose of awareness, for the purpose of trust? You know, it's more than just having a conversation about this. You know, it's really for you. Isn't it about helping others understand some of the most confusing aspects of their consciousness?
Absolutely, Pat. 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, for myself, it's interesting how things come into our lives. So, for instance, with the book that you had by Emmett Fox. I mean, written back in 1934, okay? I was drawn to go to the Internet, and I love going to the Internet because I'm like, okay, what am I going to find this time? Because who knows what I'm going to find. And I was drawn to a movie, and this movie occurred in Italy back in 1950, and a group of people had an opportunity to meet extraterrestrials and were guided by them. Think about the trust back in the 1950s. To meet these extraterrestrials, one was very tall, one was very short, but all they could feel was love from these individuals. And they just said, we're going to trust. We're going to trust that they came into our lives so that we could become better individuals and we could serve others through this information that they're sharing with us. And I thought, when I saw this movie, I'm like, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at right now. And what year is it? 2021. And I'm like, oh my God, it's time to trust, because when you trust, you're going to grow and you're going to learn and you're going to really understand yourself, that you are a powerful, loving creator. I remember the first time my extraterrestrial family shared that with me, and all I could feel were my spirit guides and my higher mind going, yeah, you're going. I'm like, really? Seriously? This is too easy. And they're like, go with the flow and trust. Because when you go with that flow, you're trusting that even though you have to go maybe a little further out and then come back in, it's going to be a better way and everything's going to be fine. All is well. We're united. We're one. And there's freedom when you take action, even if it's just to appreciate. But you've got to trust and just know in your heart, your gut feeling, that as you're getting guidance. And again, that's what my purpose is here, is to serve. And for those individuals to begin trusting and realizing that they are so much more than what they see in that mirror, so much more.
You know, I did an interview the other day with Mark Anthony, with the Colonel, Colonel John Alexander. And, you know, I did an interview with him. And, you know, if we go back and we take a look at who the Colonel is, and we take a look at what he's battled, what you have certainly come across and come up in your life, you know, because when you hold on to a truth, and you hold on to a truth that nobody else really is believing, right? I say nobody, and I say nobody because let's just say the majority. Let me just say the majority. And they believe it's some facet of what we're talking about, but maybe not all in. And then I think about one of the things I studied in psychology, which was fascinating. I never really did, Lori, I never really did get to include this study. It just wasn't, it wasn't going to get past my board, right, to include it. But one of the things I looked at is trust. And what honest education or truthful honest education is about. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to look at the phenomenon of how people trusted themselves enough to the extreme and what happened to them when nobody else around them trusted. So that was just one part of what I wanted to study. And I thought, I'm going to pick one of the extremes. And there are two things that I picked. Neither one of them I got to study. One was to really explore and have a conversation with people that are diagnosed with schizophrenia. The other part, which there was never going to make it to my board, was to talk about the people that saw and experienced one of the most controversial things they could ever claim to see or experience, and that is extraterrestrial engagement.
Whoa!
Because they were extremes in the world of trust, because themselves so much that they simply show up as themselves, right? Let's talk about this, because this is an aspect of trust that you teach. A truthful, honest education, right? The benefits of a new combination of energy composed of peace, freedom, unity, and support.
Yep.
And I was talking with the Colonel the other day, and here's the thing. I didn't get to study this phenomenon. It didn't make it into my work. But it didn't make it into my work because what I wanted to talk about is what happened to these people that was so truthfully honest in who they were, what happened to them. And what I was about to talk about, and I really want you to pick up the ball here, is most people, albeit Emmett Fox still got away with doing his thing, but most people that told the truth about what they saw in terms of ETs were locked up. They were put in a silence. And you still couldn't get them to change their minds. That is a phenomenon that even our judicial system doesn't know how to deal with. Isn't that what you mean by a truthful, honest education, but also standing in a place of purpose, freedom, unity?
Oh, absolutely. I have had many individuals come to me and say, well, should I trust the extraterrestrials? I'm like, well, okay, let's look at the scenario here. We have governments who are covering this up. They've been covering it up for how long? And now I'm sharing with you that my extraterrestrial family and I have come together to create a 13-month program, this portal journey and other journeys, and we're working as a team. And they only share honesty. Why would they cover anything up? And looking back at this movie regarding the friendship case in the 50s, okay, this group trusted and they moved forward.
Yeah.
And again, I'm doing the same thing again.
Yeah.
We're going to move forward. We're going to trust each other because the extraterrestrials are very honest.
Yeah.
It's all peace. It's all love. And again, we can achieve a galactic unity community.
Yeah.
And again, it's all about trusting. How did you and I come together? I was on the internet and I saw the name.
There it is.
When, as soon as I saw that, one of my favorite numbers is 13. And the number 13 means transformation. And wow. I just trust it. I didn't even look and do any kind of Google search on you or anything else. I automatically trusted. I filled out the form, and you and I are here right now.
And I think that's got to be the power of the message and what we're talking about. And, Benny, I think I want to skip the break. Malia, I think I'm going to skip this break. Look, this is the coolest message I could give to any of our new producers today. Benny's been with me 18 years. We have seen the strangest of the strangest things in the studio, right? We've seen it. We also know that even with the best audio video check for this show, the energy that shows up, if it is exactly what we're talking about, Gloria, right? If there's a level of self-awareness, if there's an ability for us to connect heart to heart and trust, if we stand in a place of believing, and then a little bit with me, you know, and I'll talk to this, and you could tell me how my energy may have tainted this, okay? And if you're me, and I know we're going to talk about this, and I had family in my life that everybody thought they lost their minds. I'm not kidding. Everybody thought they lost their minds. And what was fascinating for me is as I tried to tease apart that Pentagon report, right? Maybe you can help me with this. As we try to tease this apart and we watch people that we know or people in our family that may have had an experience other than Steven Spielberg people and were persecuted for it, alcohol, drugs, nobody believing them, an image they cannot forget. And then, what is it, 2 weeks ago? The Pentagon report. And I'm thinking, how many years did Aunt Margaret in an institution?
Oh, yeah.
You can't get that back.
Nope.
Is this is going to be strange, but I need you to put this in the context of what the ETs think. Was that a rite of passage for us? Did we have to go through that? And how helpful were they in orchestrating the Pentagon reports to come forward?
It's interesting that it took Donald Trump to say, I'm going to create this document, and this document is going to cover up the topic of extraterrestrials, and the topic was the COVID.
And Mark Rubio from Florida. I think Mark Rubio, from Florida, like put the bug in there. I mean, how likely is that to have happened? I mean, to think about this. You and I sitting here, Donald Trump, and I love your language, covered it up in a COVID bill. You know, most people don't know that, right? What is the likelihood of that?
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You can't cover up anything in the media. But this, zippity-doo-dah, right? Take us through so here we are today. You know, a very dear friend of mine, she does a show with us. Her name is Dee Wallace. Do you know she played the mom in E.T.?
Yes.
Yeah. That deal changed her life.
Oh, yeah. I bet.
But here we are, right? We got to get going.
We do. We need to. And again, like the extraterrestrials have shared with me, you know, why they don't just show up. One of the things that, several of the things they've shared with me about why they haven't shown up is because it's easier for them to share their information with someone who is here, who understands what's going on, who has been through the trenches. Okay, so I'm like, for me right now, I'm like, I've had enough. I know they're here. I see their ships in this little town I live in. I'm like, enough. I've had enough. And for them to come in and say, we're here together as a team, and we're going to give you an individual, a leader, who you would not suspect get this information out because it's, but again, it's You've got to trust this. It's time. It really is time. Enough people have said, I've seen this. Look at the individuals who we've lost. Look at the individuals who have lost their lives, I mean, by being in prison under drugs or what. Look at what has happened. Enough is enough. And it's time to move forward. And even if it's baby steps, so like, for instance, I have a questionnaire, and it's an ET compatibility questionnaire. It's a simple little quiz. Are you ready to take the next steps? Because if you are, then you should take action, because action really is freedom. And just moving forward and noticing that you're feeling better, you're feeling comfortable because you're done. You're done with all this cover-up. It's time to grow up. It's time. And again, we are growing up. We're starting baby steps. And everything's going to be okay. It really is. It's not going to, it's a new wave. And you've got to trust and you've got to believe. And it's interesting, when I was in the extraterrestrial portal, it's in a city, and as it was drawn, all I could see were signs going, we believe. So this city has actually taken control. They are saying, we believe in extraterrestrials. And this is the best place for you to come and learn more about them.
I have to tell you, you know, there is a lot of conversation about the Pentagon reports. And for those of you out there, I'm kind of using the Pentagon reports. I don't know if they're called Pentagon report or not. I don't know what they're called. I think they're called the government UFO report. But if you just, I don't know, just Google Pentagon and you're going to see. So what you're going to find is the report says UFOs can't be explained. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So there you go. And then it says how the Pentagon started taking UFOs seriously. So then there's that. Then the UFO report says, and thank you, BU. Thank you, BU.edu, for this little article. The report says it won't rule out visitors from space. Of course it won't. I mean, what are you going to do? Say that UFOs exist, but then there are no people in them? And then what are we going to do about the people that have made claims? Gloria, I want to jump ahead to what you're about now, because what you're doing is you're building a pathway for a revolution. And it's a revolution of truth. You know, everybody kind of poo-pooed the X-Files, even when they did the movie, and they started to use the phrase, we believe, right?
Yeah.
But yet it had one of the largest followings of any, I think, any television show short of NCIS, right?
Yes.
There is a next step. Tell us how we can be guided to the next step, because this is not just so we can have a conversation about it. It's so we can create the best version of who we are, isn't it?
It is. It really, really is, and I love the way you say that, because in this movie I saw, The Friendship Case, that was one of the goals that the group had.
Yeah.
You know, was, again, to move forward and to be a better person and to use this information to be guided, to really be guided, to be your true self and to have the fun that you deserve. And it's all about freedom, taking action, even if that action is minuscule. But the action you really should take is follow your passion. Because the passion, when you follow your passion, that in itself has its own little toolkit. And it's amazing what will happen in your life. And again, I have so many options and for individuals to receive the service that I'm offering, which is being very truthful, and it's believing in what is actually happening out there. I mean, this report, again, it's great that we have this report, but again, they're still saying, well, you know, we don't know. Well, I don't know. When you come to this little town, it's a UFO airport, you cannot help but see UFOs and UAPs, and we don't report them.
Yeah.
So think about that.
Well, you know, one of the studies that I wanted to use in my research was the Hopkins study, Hopkins-Jacobs and Westrom. and they commissioned a poll to determine how many Americans may have experienced it, and it's just Americans. And so they went through their poll of 6,000 Americans, and they went through this really in-depth study of this. And so once you go through and you become part of what they are, what they've done, and, you know, part of the poll, then, of course, there's also the criticism that comes from it. But what you find, though, is you find then people coming and really looking at the information. And so, you know, then you come through and you say that, well, wait a minute, we've done this poll, but out of the poll, a percentage of the people we think have not been abducted. Okay, great. How about the rest? This is what I love about studies in this. How about the rest? Okay. And so we're in the world now where it doesn't matter what study you did, what study that wasn't done. This is an opportunity. And in the few minutes we have left, tell us what the opportunity is for us.
The opportunity offers you numerous benefits. One, to really embrace inner peace. And I have met so many individuals in meditation groups here in the town that I live in that just want to feel peace. They're tired of getting pulled. They're tired of being ridiculed. And it's because of the way we've been trained. And, again, what I'm offering is to be of service. That's the contract that I signed when I said, okay, I'm going to be Gloria Rodriguez. And being of service brings such joy. And to see individuals feel that inner peace, you have no idea who's happier. I'm happier than they are. That may sound selfish, but to see them go through this any one of these three programs and come out and go, I feel such peace.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. It's the freedom and the joy, and I'm thinking, oh, look what I did. But it's not just me. It's them taking action and going, I want to feel peace, and this is freedom for me. And to see them, I know that I'm in the service, and that's the greatest feeling in the world.
Yes. Look, I want to thank you for joining me here today, and thank you for bringing the conversation to the forefront. And I don't know. I don't know if they're going to reconsider some of the people that are still institutionalized in terms of what they said or what they saw. I don't know that many people that are in the world of psychology might even know about the implications of the Pentagon report. Mm-hmm. But you're out there, and you're creating awareness, and I want to thank you. What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with? And, again, tell folks how they can find out more about you.
Absolutely. Well, first I want to share, I really enjoy humor and laughter. It was one of my gifts that my father gave to me. Humor and laughter will get you through anything. And this morning at the beginning of this radio show, that's what was going on, humor and laughter. But the message I would really love to share is there is freedom when you take action. And, again, the action could be minuscule. To start off by saying, I appreciate the air I breathe. When you come to my website, connect with ETFs.com. You'll notice there's three sources that you can take action on to begin your journey. And it's all about believing and trusting we're all one here together and knowing that when we achieve this goal, and again, the joy is in the journey is the goal, and you've achieved your goal, and we see the galactic community of harmony and unity. And again, my website is westportals.us, and connect with ETS.com. And my name is Glo, and I'm here to be of service. And I was reminded by my extraterrestrial family last year, not once but twice, I signed a contract to be of service, and that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Thank you so much, Glo. Thank you for everything. Also, thank you all tuning us in and turning us on. And again, for those of you who just pinged me on this, all you need to do is Google Pentagon reports. They have been officially released. They're very clear and upfront The part that I zoomed in on, the fact is that there is evidence, multisensory evidence. That means multisensory evidence. That means multiple devices demonstrated and proved the phenomenon. That, to me, yeah, not a Russian satellite. All right, everybody, we'll see you next time.